Busy routines can make it hard to focus on your health goals, but MedExpress offers a simple way to explore weight management treatment online. Complete our short eligibility consultation with no need for face-to-face appointments or travel. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly, with UK-registered clinicians offering support along the way. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to get started today.
Why do so many people know exactly what they should do, but they keep repeating the same patterns? So today we're talking about why change feels so hard, what autopilot behavior really is, and how to finally reprogram the system that is running your life. So many people struggle with this, but rarely understand it at the root level, but it can be incredibly frustrating. So why are we repeating these behaviors, reactions, and emotional cycles, even though we know what needs to change? Brian Osborne is here, and he is the creator of Interior Design Your Mind, which is a framework focused on helping people understand these unconscious patterns driving their daily actions so change can become natural instead of forced. So Brian teaches that this is not about hype or quick fixes. It's about understanding the system underneath everything and redesigning it from the inside out. So Brian, it's really good to have you here. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm excited. This is a big one. Even though I work on this stuff all the time, this still comes up for me. It's like, I know what needs to change, but I just can't seem to do it. I mean, a lot of people, even myself, sometimes blame it on discipline, but you say that it's actually systematic. So what do you mean by that?
So first, I would just want to say that one thing I tell everybody is that, number one, you're not broken. You're just programmed. Mm-hmm. So you have all the discipline. You know what to do. The world is full of knowledge, but yet we tell ourselves we're going to do something and then we just walk right by it.
Right.
And it's not a discipline problem. It's just a habit that was built over time that just became your pattern. Mm-hmm. Think of how many times you look at the dishes and go, hey, I want to go ahead and load the dishwasher, and you just walk right by it. You spend more time arguing with yourself that you're going to do it versus actually doing it. So discipline isn't the issue. It's how your system responds to what you say.
I mean, I spent like 6 months prepping myself to do my taxes, and like, I just couldn't get myself to even begin. It was like being in this fight or flight freeze mode for literally 6 months. And it began to wear me out. Like, I literally was developing like extreme anxiety about it. Even though I knew what I needed to do, I had everything set up, I just couldn't find myself to do it. And I feel like this is really common with a lot of people. It's not that people don't want to change, they just feel stuck.
Correct. It's the what I call the cells of recognition. So if you don't have any cells of recognition on what's going to happen, your body doesn't know how to respond to it. So it picks out a particular pattern from the past that generates to the screen of your mind to say, this could potentially be the outcome. Or in the past, if you had a bad emotion or a bad experience towards, let's say, taxes, for instance, your mind and your body's going to dread doing it. So it's going to delay it in order not to feel what you felt before. Because your body, we'll get into that shortly, but when you have that emotional experience, your body's going to try so hard not to recreate it. So it will delay and delay and delay before you actually come down to the deadline where you actually have to file them.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like the mind is creating all these worst case scenarios. So in this instance, it was the first time I'd ever done it on my own as a full entrepreneur with a million receipts. And, you know, my dad used to take care of it for me. So it was completely what you said. It was just the unknown. What's going to happen? It's going to be awful. I'm going to go to jail. All this stuff, like all these crazy thoughts. And then like when I ended up doing it, sure, it took a long time, but the outcome was so different than what my brain projected it to be. It wasn't that bad at all. And then you often like conquer whatever it is that you're delaying. And then you just feel A, so relieved after, and B, you sit there wondering why you overcomplicated it so much, right? Like it's bizarre.
Because your body craves the same chemical cocktail within your body, no matter what. So for example, if you're so used to that comfort of somebody doing your taxes for you, your body's used to that comfort. So it's trying to crave that comfort. But the fact that you did it on your own, well, Now your body doesn't know how to respond to it because it's a new emotional cocktail within your body. So your body starts to go into panic mode. And when it gets that new sensation, it starts generating pictures from the past to basically make the worst outcome. But in reality, it's really not that bad. It's just your body's just so used to feeling a certain way, which is just a looping pattern that I call. But once you break that loop and you introduce a new chemical to it, things get crazy.
Amazing. I can't wait to dive into that more. You use the phrase autopilot behavior. So I'm just curious what you mean by that. What does that look like?
So I call it autopilot. My mentor used to call it paradigms, but they're all basically the same thing. I mean, autopilot is just what you do on a daily without any thought whatsoever. Driving to work, you don't think about your route. You just drive. You could zone out and still end up where you're going to go. When you walk through your house, you're just on autopilot mode. The environment around you, even though you don't see it, generates that autopilot within you. So if you live in the same environment for so long and you don't change anything, that autopilot's there. It's just the way we work. Our system learns the looping pattern. We go through the motions. We call it a day. And we live 95% of our day on autopilot. And unless you're aware of it and aware of how to change it, you're not going to change it.
How often or how long does it take to develop these patterns? Like how do we, I've heard in the past that it takes 21 days to break a pattern, but I'm not quite sure. I haven't seen any proof or evidence of that. But how long does it take for our body to become familiar with something and then keep looping the same pattern?
I'll take an easy one. We'll do driving. If you take a driving to a new place, the first time you're paying attention at every turn, every little detail within that route. The second time you start remembering it. The third time you're 90% there. The fourth time you don't even need your GPS anymore. That's how fast these habits are learned, especially the unknown, the new ones that you are creating. They can be picked up within a day, within 3 days. But to break them and to change them takes a little bit more process. But at the same time, the first step is just awareness, knowing that it is just autopilot, that there is no thought, that you're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
When you get dressed in the morning, you don't think about putting your right leg in first. You just do it. You don't think about brushing your teeth. You just do it. You don't think about making coffee. You just do it. 85% of your day is just on autopilot. So when you're so used to just walking past the dishes or the overflowing trash can, you're just used to doing it. It's just handling it.
Yeah. I was going to say, why is that dangerous?
Oh, it is. Without changing, it is dangerous because at the end of the day, you're going to get the same results every day. If you're okay with the same results every day and being upset at work or when you come home and seeing your house dirty, by all means. But I myself, I had enough of it. And I wanted to know why I continued to walk back this same drop zone of seeing nothing but clutter and just dropping things there versus taking the 30 seconds to just put it where it needs to be.
Right.
And then it just drove me insane. And I wanted to know why. So once I figured it out and did my research, mentorships, I haven't looked back. My house is always looking great now. Because once you free that up in your mind is now freed up to do whatever it wants, which is the greatest thing ever.
What role does like thoughts, emotion, and body response work together? Like how do they play a role in all of this? And when you, that day when you're like, I can't do this anymore, what changed for you and how did you start developing new patterns?
So one was the first thing that I always do, and I try to tell everybody this, is to change your environment. To see your awareness, the first thing I always do is tell people to put your trash can in a different area. Just move your trash can into a different spot. You will see how much you're on autopilot because you don't think about throwing in the trash. You just walk over to the same spot. And you go to drop it. And then you realize it's not there. And you're like, oh, that's right. I put it over there. That's the first awareness. So once your environment begins to change, that's when you start interrupting that looping pattern. That's when you can actually start to begin to change what's going on. But to change that, because I know I take every 6 months, I go and rearrange my house just to change up the system, the autopilot, and just create new habits and kind of erase the old ones at the same time. Because if it's not there, you don't have to fix it anymore because it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to the whole body, your mind, if your thoughts actually controlled what you wanted, you'd already have everything you wanted.
Yes.
But they don't. So the body is actually in control. Your nervous system is in control. Your brain just summarizes everything that your body's telling it to.
Hmm.
So when you get that alignment between the brain, heart, and gut, everything begins to change.
And it's so hard to stay in that place of coherence. And I also notice that when I try and change something at first, like it feels exhausting. Like it's like you're hit with so much resistance. You know, it's like, okay, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go for a run. I've been wanting to do this forever. And I finally do it. But all of it feels like it's so, like I said, that you're hitting a wall of resistance. It's like you're swimming through mud and you're like, I can do it. I can do it. But it feels so challenging.
I tell everybody, I was actually telling a client yesterday, just be comfortable being uncomfortable. If mm-hmm. you don't feel resistance, if you don't feel that your body going, getting that butterflies and thinking about all the worst outcomes possible, means you're not changing. Mm-hmm. But once you feel that resistance and all those thoughts coming to your mind, good. That means you're breaking that loop. You're introducing a new habit. You're breaking the old one. You just got to do it. That's the hardest part, is just doing it. Because that resistance is tough because your body's so used to going, oh, you want to go for a run? No, we're not used to doing that. We're going to stay right here in our comfy nervous system where we know how it's going to feel. And then it just doesn't, then you don't do it. You just got to mm-hmm. go, you know what? It is uncomfortable, but I'm going to go do it. And then you just start doing it once, twice, three times. Your body goes, we're doing this now. And then it's going to feel right. uncomfortable when you don't do it. But the hardest part is just doing it and breaking through that. My mentor used to call it the terror barrier. You just got to knock through it.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be there.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people blame themselves. That's the sad part about this, is that we're so hard on ourselves. So to use the running example, which is actually real, like I've been wanting to do that, but I haven't been, then it's like it's automatic defeat. You know, you feel like you're so hard on yourself and you blame yourself for not being able to do it and then questioning, why is it so challenging?
That's why I always tell people, you're not broken. You're just programmed. You're not lazy. Mm-hmm. You're just programmed. It's yeah. not really challenging. It's just your body's just not used to it. And it mm-hmm. does everything in its power to keep it safe, to keep it familiar. It mm. does. Your body does not like change once it learns it. Hates it. But totally. Every habit was learned. So every yeah. habit can be unlearned.
Yeah.
You know, for big examples, no kid is born into this world afraid of spiders. No, they're not. It's a learned behavior. Same thing with money. Kids don't have any observant, any recollection or any knowledge of money whatsoever. But that's a learned behavior. That's within the autopilot. So everything is learned to a bigger extent. The problem is that the body doesn't care if it's the big goal or the little goal. The big mm-hmm. goal, I want to make seven figures. The little goal, I want to learn the dishwasher. All it knows is, do we follow through with what we say we're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Well, you got that big goal, but you also said you wanted to load the dishwasher. Okay. We're not doing it. So then it's just basically changing your nervous system biology to correspond with what you want. And not what it wants.
I was just going to ask you about the nervous system because you've mentioned it a few times. So what role does the nervous system play in these behaviors becoming automatic or just to our life in general?
Well, the nervous system makes up your body, right? It's just you have multiple nervous systems, but it controls your actions. When you begin to talk and you start moving your hands, you don't think about moving your hands. You just mm-hmm. do it. Right? You don't think about breathing, you just do it, right? So it controls your body and keeps you alive. But now, to not try to get too far ahead of myself, but I get so passionate when it comes to this, but nonetheless, right? So your nervous system is controlled by your subconscious mind. And not many people know how to access the subconscious mind. But the nervous system that makes up your body is accessed through there. And how you access this is at nighttime when you go to sleep. Through the brain waves, which I won't get too in depth with that, but also with the nervous system and how to truly break it, because I want people to actually get exercises with this and not just more information, since we have all the information in the world. But at nighttime, when you're laying there, if you start breathing through your nose, like many meditation individuals take part of, I always want to know why breathe through your nose, right? But that's actually attached to your olfactory system, which then generates the emotion. That's why you could smell something and instantly be brought back to your childhood. Hey. It's grandma's cookies or a candle or, you know, that smell of grass, whatever it may be. But when you start thinking about it and you start breathing through your nose, that you could actually change the emotion attached to that emotion that's running that loop, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Thinking of it as like, you know, you're introducing a new, think of it like a racetrack going around in circles, that you're putting a new car in there to disrupt the flow. And eventually right. That car will take over first place. And then next thing you know, that's now the emotion that's running the show.
Right.
As a little analogy.
Yeah. So the nervous system, if we can control the nervous system, then you can say we can change the outcome. Is that what you're saying?
100%. Because it's just a simple nighttime routine that could change everything without you even realizing it. The problem is people try to change in the middle of the day, where they begin to argue with themselves, but that's when your body's in full defensive mode. That's when your nervous system's going, no, we're not changing, right? Because it has to do with brainwaves at that point. So just as a quick overview of that, from 0 to 7, you're in delta and theta brainwaves. And then as you get older, you start up making beta and alpha brainwaves that controls your nervous system. Every night when you go to sleep, you access the delta and theta brainwaves every night when you go to sleep, which is your subconscious mind. Same as a child 0 to 7 that's absorbing all those habits from you, that it integrates it at nighttime in order to change the habit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do it at night and not middle of the day, where people start thinking about, you know, what else could go wrong? And then you lay there at night thinking it was the worst day ever. What else could go wrong tomorrow? Well, your nervous system is downloading that going, oh, what could go wrong tomorrow? Let's find out, right? But if you go to bed and you don't think about the worst of your day and you start thinking about what you want to change the next day, that's when everything begins to change, because everybody worries about their morning routine, but it's actually the nightly routine before you go to bed that changes everything.
Interesting. What do you mean by that? Can you explain that a little bit more?
So if you go to bed doom scrolling, your body is releasing dopamine.
Right.
Stimulus, that's what you want. So when you wake up in the morning, as you download that, the first thing you're going to do is grab your phone and figure out what's going on in the world. And you start doom scrolling again first thing in the morning. That's not how you want to do it. If you start playing, this is the worst day of my life, can't get any worse tomorrow, your body's going, we're going to download the bad parts? Okay. Because how you go to sleep is how you wake up. It's a carryover state. So at night, your mind is just downloading how you feel at the end of the day. You wake up the next day, your body's already moving. You're already breathing. Your eyes are open. You have no thoughts yet. But how you went to sleep is how you wake up. So the last thing you do is how you're going to feel first thing the next day.
Right. It's like dreading Monday morning. If you are going to a job that you dislike on Sunday night, you're going to be like, oh my God, I don't want to go to work. And then Monday morning's going to feel awful.
Yep. But if you go to bed differently, going, you know what? I know I got work tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and make the best of it. You're going to go to work tomorrow and you're going to have the best day.
Right.
People dread Mondays, love Fridays. I always love Mondays because to me, it's all downhill after that.
Right. Another thing you say is that awareness comes before change. So why is awareness such a key step in all of this?
Well, you can't change something that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't change a light bulb unless you can actually see the light bulb.
Right.
You can't change the electricity in your whole house without seeing what's behind the wall. It just doesn't work. You have to be aware. You have an understanding of it, but you're not aware of what it is that's actually controlling that behavior. So for an example, one of the big ones that I broke myself was that not completing projects, which a lot of people I'm sure have the same one. But I wanted to know why I could not complete a project. And no offense to my father, but when I went down memory lane and every time we went to go fix something, he always said, you're not doing it right. Let me finish it. So I actually never learned how to finish a project. So then as I'm older and I do things, I still don't know how to finish those projects unless I actually finish them. Right? So it's just like any other thing. How many people can honestly say they finish projects before they move on to the next one? Uh-huh. Probably not many, because we all learned you're not doing it right. Let me do it. And then you learn never to finish it.
Right. Hence so the taxes for me, right? Like that's a direct correlation to that as well, is these learned behaviors.
Yep. It's just
I've never taught how to do it.
Yep. They're so subtle that you don't even realize that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But having the awareness that they're there and going, wow, why did I just do that? I don't want to do that. Let me change that. And then you go, okay, I'm aware of the problem now. Now it's just changing how my body reacts to that particular habit.
So how do we observe our system without judgment?
That's always a hard one. Because again, it's not that you're lazy. It's just that you're patterned. Mm-hmm. So to observe it without judgment is to realize that the only person who's judging you is you.
Mm-hmm.
It's your life. It's your story. You're the star of your movie. The only person you need to do it for is yourself. Nobody else but yourself. And you just got to just not judge yourself and just go, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do it because it's going to benefit me at the end.
Right, right. So let's give the audience something that they can, tangible, that they can work with. What are some small things that someone can do to interrupt their autopilot without trying to overhaul their whole entire life right away? Because that's how I am. I'm like, oh, I'm going to change everything. But that never works. It's like the New Year's resolution, right? You make all these big goals and then at the end of the year, you feel defeated by it. So what are some realistic steps that people can take?
Realistic steps that people could take is number one, change your trash can space in your home. Identify right. The autopilot within your house. You're going to see it. You're going to realize it. And that's one simple change for you to have that awareness. Another one, change your route to work. Change your route. Don't go the same way. Your body's going to go the same way without thought. And you're going to see yourself going your old way, even though you want to do a new way. Still working on that one. When I take my son to daycare every morning, I go, oh, I want to go this way. He starts calling me out on that going, Dad, why are we going this way?
Right.
And I'm like, you're right. We started changing it. I just went on my way. Wasn't even thinking about it. But then you start realizing that you want to go one way, but your body went the other way. And you just start realizing it. And it's just those little tasks. First thing in the morning, because once you start realizing you're start to do that first thing in the morning, that's when you start picking it up for the rest of the day, is when you start realizing those patterns. But unless you do it first thing in the morning, your body's going to be on autopilot. That's why I always say, change your trash can in the morning or change where your toothbrush is in the morning. Change where your clothes are. And you're going to see how much autopilot you are first thing in the morning. Because if it's the first thing in the morning, imagine how the rest of your day is. And always start with one small task and complete it. Don't go for the big one. Go for the little one. And then you start gradually growing because of 100 million little ones count a whole lot more than just one big one.
So like change, like making your bed in the morning and like just little wins. Is that what you're saying?
Just little wins to see how much autopilot you're truly on. Because once you're aware of it, you can change it. But you can't change something that you're not aware of. And it's not that people are lazy. You're just programmed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was driving the same route to my yoga class the other day. And for some reason, I just was inspired to look around. And I literally drive that route like every single day, sometimes twice a day. And I'm like, has that been here the whole time? Because I've never noticed it. And it was so bizarre to me. I'm like, I literally drive by this every single day and I've never seen it before. And then that opened my mind up to what else am I missing out on, right? Because it's like we develop these blinders by these patterns that we develop and we're not seeing everything around us.
Yeah, it's amazing how much your eyes see without you actually seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
You take landmarks, certain times, distances, and everything else. I mean, I helped somebody that wanted to stop smoking in their car. And I said, okay, which way do you drive to work? Do you light that cigarette up in the same location, the same intersection every time? And they're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, change your route. Change your route. Your body will be like, oh, this is different. This is not where we usually do this. And then you'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just doing those little things that most people don't realize that truly make the biggest difference.
People break through the fear and the anxiety. Because I know a lot of people who, even going to a new location for an event, I have a friend that and her son plays hockey. And every time she drives to a new arena, she has so anxiety about the drive. Where am I going to park? How does someone begin to view newness as exciting versus anxiety driving?
Well, one thing that I always tell people is, one, when you do that, it's just the fear of the unknown. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't know until you get there. That's okay, because you don't know until you try it.
Right.
When it comes to that fear base and that anxiety, it's just your body not used to going somewhere it doesn't know. Despite how many times you've done it, your body just doesn't know how to handle that new introduced chemical being released by your brain to actually control that particular outcome. But everything's far more worse or so much better. Our thoughts are so much worse than what things actually are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that fear of the unknown, not having those cells of recognition that drive into your body going, nope, we don't like this feeling. We're not used to it. You know, think of it, your brain, heart, and gut being in a group chat together and just arguing back and forth. Nothing's going to get solved. But when they're aligned, that's when everything starts to begin to change.
So we also talked about, before we started recording, about how the body holds on to these situations that are learned. So the body holds on to these situations until it doesn't. How do we begin to release that? And what does it take? Like, what was your experience like when you realized, oh my gosh, I was a learned behavior from my childhood? Like, how do you go back and essentially rewrite the script?
Well, one, I like the fact that you said release, because that's one key word that I always use with individuals, because you can't lose it or try to forget about it, because we're taught something's lost, you got to go find it.
Right.
So you have to release it. But the biggest thing that I tell people to do is, the only thing holding you back is you. Meaning, if you want something bigger, if you want to do something more, you have to be willing to give up who you already are. So for example, if you want to start a business or you want to get things done around the house, you have to be willing to give up that individual that loves to watch Netflix or loves to doom scroll. You have to be willing to give up that individual, that loop, that habit, in order to create a new one and release the old one.
Is it kind of like developing a new identity in a way?
To an extent, more so, yes. So for example, I did this, I think it was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, where I was really busy, didn't get time to do it. And I was always grew up as an individual that you don't call somebody to fix it. You just go and fix it yourself.
Right.
So when my brother-in-law, shout out to him, came over and started doing some projects around the house, it ate me up inside, because that's not who I was. That's not who I was. So I sat there at night and went through my nightly routine. This is how I know it works. And I released that old part of me that no longer served its purpose, that it's no longer who I am. And I went through a, for lack of a better term, grieving process, where I didn't feel right because my body didn't know what to do. That's how I knew it took effect. And now I have no problems people coming over to fix my house. I'm grateful for it, because now I get that time back. But yes, it's more so releasing that identity that is holding you back to create a new identity that you want.
What does that feel like when your body is going through the process? So you release what you want, but then your body still needs to process it. So what does processing look like?
So think of it as a bunch of balls dropping and having nowhere to go within your body. So it'll start releasing it, whatever chemical is attached to it, whatever past emotion is attached to it, and start trying to create and get into other particular loops and habits within your body, generate past the memories, try to create new habits with it, because it's trying to figure out where it fits until you actually get it through your body going, you no longer serve me. And then I'd say probably about 3 days, it's probably the usual grieving process. And next thing you know, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
It's not easy, not going to lie, but it's doable, and you can actually create the results that you want.
I was just going to say, so what happens to the body when we start to let go of these things? What does being free from our minds look like?
So the small ones are easy. You can load the dishwasher while thinking. That's not hard. But when it comes to the bigger ones, once you release it and you become who you want to become and you lose that part of your identity, it is the most exhilarating moment, because yes, you may have lost that identity and released it, But at the same time, you're giving birth to a new identity, one that you can create, one that you can have the habits of. So it's basically creating, because we are creators, the person who you want to become and have the habits that you want to become, and releasing the habits that are holding you back to becoming who you want to be.
So many, even celebrities, performers have alter egos that they've created so that they can conquer what they're looking to conquer. And so I think it's so powerful to recognize that everything is a story that we're telling ourselves, and be able to look at everything from an outside perspective and be unattached to outcomes. And I mean, we all like to relate ourselves. It's like, if you ask someone what they do for a living, people will tell you that they're, you know, I'm a CEO of this company. But if you ask people who they are, they often don't know how to answer that. And I think learning how to answer that part is so empowering. And I think it's becoming more important. The world is shifting and more people are asking themselves exactly that. Who am I? AI's come in and taken away so many jobs, and people are being forced to do this work. That's why this work that you're doing is so helpful for people, because if they get ahead of it, it's going to make it so much easier in the future, because things are just beginning to change in such a major way.
Yeah, I mean, the world is saturated with nothing but information, nothing but titles, nothing but, you know, what you're aiming for. But the other question that most people, I'm going to say who I am is the most asked question, but not the most important one.
Mm-hmm.
The most important question is, what do I want?
Right.
Because not many people know what they truly want. They just go through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask yourself, what do I want? Yeah, vacations pop up and the new house pops up. But at the same time, is that what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to ask yourself, why do I want it? Do I want it for me, or do I want it for the title? Do I want it to look good for other people that I have this nice house? Why do you want it? Because if you can say you want it because of you, then you're golden. But if you do it for outside reasons, you're never going to get it. You got to do it for yourself. So it's, what do you want and why do you want it?
Yeah. So that clarity piece, becoming really clear on the things that we're doing and why. And 9 times out of 10, people have a fear of what they want. You know, so many people want success, but they're actually really afraid of it. So many people want financial freedom, but they're actually afraid of it. Breaking these patterns can open up other patterns, right? So what does the process of healing actually look like in reality?
It's just releasing which identity no longer serves you. Nobody has a fear of success. What they have is a fear of unfamiliar, of losing an identity within themselves. Anybody can become anything. The world is full of knowledge. You can learn anything within a weekend, especially with AI now. But what it doesn't teach you is how to change your actions. And that is where the most important part is. Because at the end of the day, we go through the motions and we don't even think about what we want. We don't think about how to change it. We try to manifest all these thoughts and what you truly want. We create the vision boards and write the affirmations. But if that worked, you'd already have it by now. The only thing that's holding you back is your body holding on to that identity, that habit, that belief. But once you learn how to not only have the awareness of it, but how to change it, that's when everything begins to change.
Without
that, you'll be going through the process each and every day.
Yeah.
With no thought.
So tell us more about the work that you do and how you can help people transform their lives.
So I broke this down to a 12-step system that can change your nervous system without any extra effort, meaning that the way it is designed is to do it during your underutilized time, meaning driving to work. Don't listen to the music. Listen to the program. Nightly routine. Do not doom scroll. Listen to my nightly routine. It's all within your underutilized time. And then what I started doing as well recently is I started making command blocks where you put it in an area of your house that you want fixed, whether it's the drop zone, little command up there that says, hey, drop it here now, you'll pick it up later. And just little commands, stop arguing with yourself, just load the dishwasher. Just little commands that you read that help break that loop in real time. Because information is great, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't break it up in real time. I focus on those real time moments habits that actually create change.
Beautiful. I'm thinking of sticky notes everywhere.
Right? That's how I started. And I want a little bit more decor, because your body during the day in those brain states are the autopilot states, and it's just protecting who you are. But once you read something and notice something different, like you did on your car ride, that's a pattern that's starting to break and interrupt in real time. So when you have those little commands, it's walking by it, putting something in the sink, reading it, because it's going to catch the corner of your eye because it's something new, not familiar within the environment. You go, yeah, you're right. And then put it back into the dishwasher right away, or the drop zone, or the office, bedroom, wherever you may be. I got pieces for everywhere. Even like little TV remote ones where you put it right where my remote going, this is where you usually fail. Don't do it. Nope. Not going to turn on the TV. Let me go complete what I need to complete. Then I'll come back for my stimulation dopamine hit.
Yeah, for sure. So where can people find out more information about the programs and everything that you do?
So everything that I do, you can visit interiordesignyourmind.com or leadwithbrian.com. But for this particular one, we're going to do interior design your mind, because it's not coming in and demolishing your nervous system and buying new things. It's utilizing what you have to create a space in which benefits you. So instead of keeping the couch in the same spot watching TV, we're going to move things around a little bit and create that space in which you're in control of and utilizing what you have. So interior design your mind is where you could find all that.
Amazing. So what is something that you want the listeners to take away from today's conversation? And also speak to the people out there that are just feeling really overwhelmed and helpless.
So a few things that I would say is, one, again, you're not broken. You're just programmed. And you don't rise to your goals. You fall to your patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So despite wanting everything, and despite what you think and all the positive thinking, and you know, how many times did people think, hey, I want to go ahead and hit the lottery, but you never do. You play anyway, but you never do. Some people have, don't get me wrong. But if your thoughts controlled that, you would have already done it. It's your body that's in control, not your brain. So you're not lazy. You're not broken. You're just programmed. And the first step is awareness, which in interiordesignyourmind.com, you can get the lesson one for free to understand the awareness.
Amazing. And I like the realistic, like what you mentioned about time, like things take time. And I think the most important thing is if we just do one little thing every single day, just to move the needle, then it's, you start to build that momentum. But it definitely can be done. And I just think that humans need to be not so hard on themselves, because we tend to just beat ourselves up over things. Like the way that I talk to myself sometimes, I would never dare talk to anybody like that. It's so important. So I think that awareness piece is key to unlocking all of the future things, right? So we'll make sure to have that all in the show notes for the audience as well. Thanks so much for being here. Do you have any last minute thoughts you want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up time. Because this does take time. And unfortunately, right now, our habits and our culture and environment is all about same day shipping and having information.
Amazon's not quick enough for us.
Right? But that's what we are expecting now, is to order something and have it on our doorstep like that. It's the same process where people try to change.
Wait, days? Usually it's 2 days. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's crazy.
So you expect it right away. So when you change, you expect it right away. But you can't go to the gym and expect a 6-pack abs within the first day. No, it takes time. You can't, you know, expect to change your body and have it the next day. It doesn't work that way. Everything takes time for change. We're just so conditioned and have the habit of same day delivery, but that's not the reality of it. And that's where most people fail, is because they don't see the change instantly.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, Brian, this has been such a great conversation. Thanks again for being here. And I look forward to developing the series more and going more in depth on all of the work that you do.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad to get this awareness out there.
Absolutely. It'll definitely help so many people. And thank you to our audience for showing up and for listening. This conversation definitely reminds us that real change isn't about becoming someone overnight. It's about understanding what is running in the background and rebuilding trust with yourself and creating a new internal system that actually supports the life that you want. So to learn more about Brian Osborne and Interior Design Your Mind, you can check out the links in the show notes. And if this resonated with you, feel free and please share it with someone that you feel it would benefit from. Because I think so many people are struggling with this. I mean, I struggle with it all the time and I'm aware of it. So pass it on to someone who might benefit and come back for the next episode. Thanks, everybody. Have a beautiful day.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.